One time I was talking to Rogan about, we were working out together in a hotel. And he was like, you know, when I work out, I think about that someone's trying to kill me. And that's what I push up against. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, I imagine that someone's trying to kill me. And that's as I push through the thing. I was
Do you
like,
realize how little we have in common?
100%. Cheers.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
What a week. What a week. Haven't seen you in a minute. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, it's so good to be here. I feel like I've lost weight, but it doesn't show.
Yeah. How are those workouts going?
Horrible.
Horrible? You were limping in the
I'm
hallway.
Not walking very well at all.
Soreness.
So I'm doing 2 days. I'm doing 5.5 miles every day. By the way, 2,000 miles is unattainable. It really is unattainable.
Is there a bet you have going or something?
It's with me. Okay. It's just with myself. You know, I tried to tell that to my daughters. I was like,
"Are you going
to
call an audible on your total you're going for?"
No, I'm going to push forward. Michelle Wolf already told me you need to cut yours to 1,500. You're not going to do 2,000. She's like already said, like, "There's no way you're getting to 2,000."
Does that make you want to do it?
Or
do you
accept hardcore. I'm not going to have a woman tell me physically, especially a redheaded woman. Are you out of your fucking mind, Michelle Wolf?
No. This is a good.
No,
it's a good angle.
Can I tell you? I had to.
It's weird when you find out other comics are like good at other things.
Or it's weird when you
like out. when I learned that too. They're like, you know, Michelle Wolf runs, and I was like, oh yeah, a lot of people. They're like, no, she really runs.
Yeah,
like,
no one wants a fat chick in the. Like, I get it. No, I sure. Nikki, everyone runs. Yeah. Amy Schumer runs.
Michelle Wolf's on like marathons,
Michelle Wolf's,
right?
Fucking the
was she a cross country runner?
She did rim to rim. Type in rim to rim. Sounds a lot dirtier than it is. She did rim to rim.
No one was thinking.
She did
that.
Rim to rim. Hold on. Let's just call Michelle Wolf and have her her what rim to rim is. So Michelle Wolf and I texted her when I ran 1,000 miles. I said, "How many miles did you run this year?" She goes, "That's an interesting question." Writes back 1,500 dot dot dot, and then the next day just ups it by another 10 miles. And I'm like, "Whoa." She's like, "Hey, 1,000 miles, legit accomplishment." And I was like, yeah, it was. And but I looked at my numbers through the year, and I was like, there were months where I had like 7 miles, like months where
I was partying
balls.
Yeah.
I was like, I bet if I really focused, I could get to 2,000 miles. And then she just writes back, what's the challenge this year? And I was like, bitch, you know my fucking voice. You know how I think so
What's your
well.
Hashtag? Wolf to...
Wolf machine.
Wolf
it's
machine.
Everyone's stuff. It got flagged because these fucking assholes started just putting Bert fucks wolves all over it. So... If I could catch a wolf, I'd fuck it. Okay, Michelle Wolf, let's fucking... Someone doesn't have an iPhone. Okay, do we FaceTime her?
Go for it, man.
FaceTime's like a legit handout. Like, that's... when you FaceTime someone, that's like, yo, I'm here.
Yeah, that's like kicking someone's window open, man. Like, FaceTime is...
Then they know, hey, we're being serious about this.
Oh, yeah, this is a real friendship now.
Yeah. I wonder if she's going to answer because I'm too close. It's a pretty aggressive move. Especially someone who, like, I probably met Michelle once by text with her. So
it's
a FaceTime's like a...
It's a lot.
Especially there's a lot of things you could be doing that you're like, hey...
Hey, man. You should text me first before you do this.
Unavailable.
She's probably like, I don't want to fucking FaceTime this guy. Can he just text like everybody else?
Just texted. Are you doing all right? on a podcast with Tom talking about our mileage. FaceTime me if you can. She's probably with Dave Chappelle in his compound.
Yeah.
She's in Austin.
She's in Austin?
Oh, I'm sure she is. She's got the fuck. Dude, you want to talk about best quarantines ever?
Yeah.
Michelle Wolf spent the entire quarantine in Yellow Springs with Dave Chappelle.
She's doing shows
getting
all the
time. Tested nonstop, running outdoors.
And doing shows. Spots.
And doing shows non-fucking-stop.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. She'll have one of the best specials. You know that already. As if I'm a Netflix exec, I'm like, well, let's buy that special right now.
Yeah,
let's buy her, Mo Ammer, Donnell. But they're the only ones doing stand up. And so, all right. So Michelle, I got Michelle. I texted her, said doing a FaceTime with Tom, talking about her mileage. Now, so I'm doing 2 days in order
so
to get
you
to
run your five.
I ran five this morning. I didn't run five. I didn't run my 5.5. So what I do. This is the way my brain works, is if I don't run the 5.5, I'm forced to get on the treadmill at the end of the day, very, very end of the day.
Yeah.
And then if I get on the treadmill at the end of the day, I'll put in 2.5. I'll just do 2.5. Yeah. So then I'll get above my mileage. So I always fall short, 4 miles, 3 miles, and then whatever. Now I'm doing 2 days. So I started working with a trainer. A legit trainer. And
how'd you get the trainer? How'd you pick a trainer?
Movies.
What do you mean?
Movie production.
The production picked her?
Movie production. Let's just leave it bland. Movie production. Like, she's a movie... She is the person a production hires to get someone to lose weight. Okay. I can't tell you all the business she's
right,
done.
Right, right. Okay. But she's referred to you?
Yes.
Okay.
And she's friends with Tate Fletcher. Really good friends with Tate Fletcher. She's one of the...
Is she the one that came over?
What?
Is she the one that was with Tate when they came? When I was
yeah.
With...
Wait, were you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you met her. Yeah. You met her.
She was in the passenger seat.
Yep. So, first day, I mean, like, I'm sitting there going, like, I run 5.5 miles a day. I'm in pretty good shape. I am hungover the first time. She had me just do this, like, just go, like, raise my arms 13 mm-hmm. times.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
I do that in physical therapy.
Fucking my back's on fire. And I'm like,
yeah.
She's like, now out to the side. I'm like, Gah! And then she has me do shit where I just go, that's stupid. No one does. Like, why would I do that? Like, just like standing in like a plank and then grabbing a weight and pulling it to one side, then switching it
mm-hmm.
and doing that like fucking 70 times. I did lunges for 5 minutes straight.
That's why you're walking funny.
Yeah. And I'm just like, my body is fucked.
Yeah.
Fucked. So then I do runs in the morning, trainer in the afternoon, then runs at night.
How many days a week?
I do trainer 4 days a week.
Wow.
And I run every day.
That's impressive.
I have to run 5.5 miles every day of the week to make fucking...
When you, if you go do your thing or whatever, like, you're not going to be able to keep that pace up.
I don't know. So
do
here's
you travel
my,
or something?
Here's my goal.
What?
My goal is if I can drop a little bit of weight, like just a little bit.
How much is a little bit?
Fucking right now, 10 pounds would be astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
And then and then my body will feel better running, and running will be a lot easier. Like, I noticed that running from even just the beginning of the year, when I finished 1,000 miles to where I am today, I can run so much better. Speaking of which, you are moving better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're moving. Like, how fucking crazy is that? How long is this ago is this injury now?
December 1st.
December 1st.
So we're looking at 9 weeks, 9, 10 weeks.
9 weeks.
Yeah.
Did you ever think it was that you're never going to get to the place where you can like walk where you are?
No, it's very like there's a lot of different thoughts. Like at first, you know, even after surgery, they point to the arm and they're like, fine, going to be fine. The nerves in your arm and your hand will come back. It'll take a long time. And I'm like, okay. And then they go, the real thing's going to be that knee. And I'm like, what? Like, I wasn't even thinking, like, what do you mean? Like, you fixed it. And they're like, you're going to have to learn to walk again. You have muscle atrophy in your quads.
Yeah, but the muscle atrophy is almost gone, right?
No. Really? It stopped atrophying because I'm using it again.
Yeah, okay.
But to build it back
up. Could you see it when you...
You can see it right now.
For real?
I'll show you after.
Really?
You can see that the right leg is full.
Dude.
And like you can see
atrophy
like the quad.
Both your thighs and get a big dick.
It's freaky to look at.
I bet paraplegic dudes have the biggest hogs.
I don't know about that.
Type in paraplegic dick. It's got to be a porn. There's got to be a porn. Paraplegic.
I don't know about that.
I can call a paraplegic. Para is just two, right?
Yeah.
Let's I can call a paraplegic.
Okay. What's that second one there. That's a paraplegic girl who got waxed. Okay, that's a 17-second clip.
Wait, go to paraplegic girl who gets waxed. That can't be something I want to see. The girl's not paraplegic. She's just not moving.
Oh.
Wait, is that really a paraplegic?
I mean,
she's not fighting back.
She doesn't feel anything.
No. You feel your vagina, right?
No. Not if you're a real, true paraplegic. Wait,
can you not feel your dick if you're paraplegic?
I mean, if you're a true paraplegic, right? Like, you don't have feeling below your waist. I don't see what you
do. Do we call an expert?
Who do we know?
I know a guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And we ask him if he feels his dick?
Yeah, is that bad?
I don't know. How well do you know the guy?
Pretty good.
Okay. Give him a call. Ask him how his dick's doing.
Is this a bad phone call to make someone?
Just phrase it. Hey, don't be like, hey, man, we're doing this thing. How do you feel? Just be like, hey, we have questions about sex with, you know, can we ask you?
But should I not say his name then? Or like, well, like,
how do you know the guy?
I know him.
Okay.
I partied with him. I got him so drunk he fell out of his wheelchair one time.
Okay. I thought you were like, and I got him paralyzed.
No,
definitely don't call him.
No, and he comes to all my shows. I know him.
I think you can call him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Get ready to take it out. Zupan, what's up?
How are you?
Good. Hey, you're on a podcast with me and Tom.
Sweet.
Hey, we were talking. We have some paraplegic questions. We have some talk questions we wanted to ask you. Is it cool if is it cool if we ask them?
Ask whatever you want.
Oh, that's what I love. Okay. So Tom has atrophy in his left leg.
Yep.
And he's been noticing that his dick looks bigger. Is that like does your dick look bigger when you're paraplegic?
Why? Because your leg's smaller, so it makes your dick just that much bigger?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, you know, mine's small anyway, so I don't fuck. I mean, Jesus Christ. So it's
same, bro.
Being small.
Same.
Being small don't change anything.
Tom said same.
Yeah, it's fucking funny, isn't it?
Hey, wait. So then, does your dick get hard? Can you have sex?
Yeah, my wife's pregnant as we speak.
Hey, congratulations.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, congratulations. Cool. Mark Zupan.
Thank you.
Let me ask
you know Mark? You ever see the documentary Murder Ball?
Yeah.
That's him.
Oh.
Here, hang on. Tom wants to talk to you.
Hey. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. Yourself?
Doing well. Thank you. I have a question, though, because we were talking. This is all prompted by Bert's perversions. But so
of course.
I saw a clip of a woman who was paralyzed and... Yeah. She, in this interview, it was like a very, I think it's on TikTok, and she has a whole feed about it. She was in an accident, you know, a few years ago. And in this video, she said, you know, I get asked this. She goes, no, I don't feel penetration or intercourse because I have no feeling. And so it led to the question about, well, you know, maybe that's the level of paralysis she has as opposed to, you know what I mean? Like that. Some people can feel and some can't. Does that make sense or no?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like so I broke my neck and I can feel everything. So it's good and bad. You know, I have my legs fucking suck because they don't really work so well, but you feel everything. So
gotcha.
You
feel the pain. Oh, okay.
But, yeah. No, depending upon where the person breaks their neck and how bad they do or back, if it's severed, then you're usually going to get, you're not going to have the feeling or the mobility from it.
Right. So if you, there's paralyzed males who don't feel below the waist, like don't feel anything sexual, like sexual organs,
yes,
right?
Okay. Of course.
So it's just, it's basically you do feel these things because of the type of injury allows you to still feel it.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay.
Fuck yeah.
It's on how much damage you do to your spinal cord, essentially.
Got you. Okay. Thanks for answering that, man.
Dude.
Anytime.
Hey, Fuck yeah, thank you very much. I fucking love you. All right, I'll give you a call later, okay?
Yeah, we'll be thinking about your dick with more questions later.
Yeah, if we have any more questions, we'll call you.
Oh, please do.
All right, brother, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
That's a great fucking doc. Murderball?
Murderball's fucking, pull up Zupan.
Which reminds me, I just saw two things that are phenomenal.
Yep. There he is. Go scroll down.
Hey, by the way.
Yeah, Mark Zupan is...
having that queued up with No Da Da, I mean, that's proof right there why we got rid of him.
Fucking amazing.
Good job.
God damn, yeah.
We didn't have to ask you.
Zupan lives... I see him every time I'm in Texas. I'm not going to tell you where he lives, but I see him every time in Texas, and I had written a joke about him.
Oh, Houston.
No, actually not.
I was trying to walk you into it.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote a joke about him, and I didn't... it was on accident. I didn't know I'd ever meet him. And then he was at one of my shows, and I was like, dude, I wrote a joke about you a long time ago. You remember the joke.
Do I?
Yeah, I'm certain you do. I watched the trailer for Murderball in a theater. It was someone played the trailer, or with a lot of people. I don't know when I remember where it was. And sometimes I mishear things, and it makes me laugh. And Mark Zupan got paralyzed because he fell asleep in the back of a truck. He got drunk, fell asleep in the back of the truck, flew out of the truck. That's how he got paralyzed. That's not a funny story. When you hear that, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
I misheard it, and I thought he said I was paralyzed from the waist up. And I couldn't stop laughing at the idea of a guy just could walk around but couldn't use the top of him. And I couldn't stop laughing. And the fact that I was laughing at that inappropriate time made me laugh even harder. And Leanne's like, fucking stop. It's not nothing about this is funny.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop laughing, and everyone thought I was an asshole. I mean, I told it to him on stage. We were wasted. And he laughed so hard he fell out of his chair.
He did?
Yeah, he's the fucking best, man.
Yeah, that Mark Zupan. If you've never seen Murderball.
Murderball's a great fucking documentary.
Great doc, man.
Great fucking documentary.
It really is really, really good. So
Then what did we start? About
what?
Instead of just losing, I guess you'd have to lose weight. Just stop using your legs so your dick looks bigger.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and about my getting around. I also do PT 3 days a week. I do OT twice a week.
I work
out 5 days a week.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Hold on. Put a pin on where we were.
Okay.
Let's go back for a second. Were there moments in this injury where you thought, I may not know life like I did before?
I think brief moments. Like there's a whole thing. I mean, you go through so many emotions and the mental like toll it takes on you at certain times, you know, like sometimes it's in the hospital, sometimes it's in recovery. There's times now where like I'll forget for a second that I'm, you know, still healing and I'll just want to do something quickly. I did it the other day and I jammed my leg down too hard and I was like, oh, because like you basically are feeling scar tissue ripping inside of your knee. And I was like my eyes water and I was like, oh. And then that day I just basically had to ice my, like I couldn't really use it anymore. I just fucked it up for the day. But
I mean, there's... Do you realize how bad I would have been if that had been me? Like, I don't have that. I don't think I have that, like, go get him attitude where I would have fucking wallowed in misery. Certain I would have had a very hard time getting off pills.
Yeah, the pills thing, you got to get off of it, like, pretty quickly. I mean, as soon as, you know, what did it for me, that wasn't even the pills. It was the constipation that they cause. Because
really?
By the time I took my third shit with like where I had to have help and I was like so miserable with it, that next day when they were like, here's your oxy, I was like, I don't want it. And they're like, oh, are you not in pain? I was like, I don't care. I don't want to do the constipation again.
Oh, for real?
Because I wasn't shitting like 3 and 4 days at a time.
Oh, I never cared about that. I just found the video.
I got so upset about
it. One of my favorite things on the new iPhone is... when you go to this and it goes 1 year ago today.
Yeah, yeah.
And you find pictures that like a year ago today, I must have been watching a sunset somewhere. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck, where was that? You try to remember it. Well, one of the pictures I found, it was a video that I don't know how it got on my phone and I don't know where I did it, but I did it in North Carolina and it was right after the day I fell off the waterfall.
Yeah.
It was that night and I was loaded up. I had been drinking and I was on oxys and... all of the pills, like the fucking Zoladid.
Yeah.
I was taking 4 milligrams of Valium.
That's
type
a lot.
In what a prescription of Valium should be. I was taking 4 milligrams of Valium and I just wasn't thinking and I was drinking.
And I was in so much pain. That's
such a great combo, though.
And I did a video of me in a Confederate hat, like a Confederate Civil War hat. Because we had done a Civil War reenactment that mm-hmm, day, mm-hmm. and I tried to get through it, and I had a Civil War Confederate hat on, and I'm doing a video talking about the injury, and I was looking at myself going, I can't remember being that day. It's amazing when you're not hurt, you can't remember being hurt, or when you're not heartbroken, you can't remember being heartbroken.
That's one that's good, right?
What?
When you're heartbroken, you get heartbroken, it's so miserable. And you know, I was talking about how there is a point where somebody goes, they bring up the girl, they say Sarah, and you go, oh, I remember that she broke my heart. But then you go, like, does it? You still feel it? And you're like, thank God, no.
And
like,
tell other people one day you'll miss the heartbreak.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah, but I mean, heartbreak feels it feels like your soul's being ripped out of you, right? Like,
oh,
it's the most devastating feeling.
It's the same.
Did we find what a Valium dosage is? What it's supposed to be? Usual dosage. Can you scroll in on that?
2 to 4 milligrams. Okay. So 4 milligrams sounds right. It's just
2 to 10 milligrams, 2 to 4 times daily.
Okay. 2 milligrams to 10 milligrams, 2 to 4 times daily.
That's
management of disorders. Okay.
Oh.
Symptomatic relief.
Acute alcohol withdrawal? Wait, there what's that one?
10 milligrams.
10 milligrams.
3 or 4 times during the first 24 hours, reducing it 5 milligrams. As need. Okay.
Wow, that's so funny. It's the same. It's the same. It's the same as working out. Since we're talking about working out a little bit, it's the same as working out because. So the day you work out, you get done the hard workout. Your legs tremble and your arms are trembling, and you like go to get in your car and you kind of collapse into it.
Yeah.
And then the next morning you wake up, you go to take a piss, and you can't sit on the toilet. Because your legs hurt.
Yeah.
And then there's a moment where you're like, I'm like fucking not moving at all.
So is your training right now, usually with a trainer, there's like a goal. Are you like, I'm trying to get
so that I'm not completely obese. What I was trying to get at one point was fucking jacked, right?
Because
mm-hmm. I thought, for whatever things.
Weirdly, you do have a frame that I think if you do the exercise and the diet intensely to a T, I think you could actually pop. Seriously.
I'm
But you got to do the diet.
Right now I'm doing trifecta diets. I just do their meal plan.
Mm-hmm.
I do 3 trifectas a day.
God, you'll be insufferable. It'll be so exhausting to be around.
Dude, I already see a difference like right here
uh-huh.
just from doing like it's interesting how
couple months of this, man.
Coachable I am too, because yeah. I get so we're the other day we're doing this round. It's but this sounds so pussy for and I understand that. But it's 10 push-ups, 10 push-ups, 10 squats, 10 like reach ups, right? And then 10 dips. And so and it's rounds of like 3 rounds, so it's like quick. My brain is I'm such a meathead. Whatever my wiring is so bro that I go, my brain goes, well, as soon as I get to 5, I hear my brain going, come on, bitch, you're halfway. And I'm like, where have you been for a while?
Yeah.
And it's such a fucking meathead. And then I can't help it. You I push what? Myself to throw up almost yeah. every time.
You know, I mean, everybody has has different things, right? Where like, you know, I'll think of like coaches and that I've had in the past and like, different sports I've played in, and sometimes I'll try to get myself upset when I'm working out, and I'll think of a time where I was slighted and I got really upset, or somebody disrespected me.
Oh,
or,
that's what I'm doing today.
And sometimes it'll fire me up.
I'm doing that today.
But you know, you always have your own references. One time I was talking to Rogan about we were working out together in a hotel gym, and you know we're going through whatever, we're doing different stations, and then. You know, it was towards the end of the workout, and I made some comment about how he was working out or something, or how he was pushing himself. And he was like, you know, when I work out, I always, and he's like looking at me, you know, like we're all sweaty and stuff. He goes, when I work out, I think about that someone's trying to kill me. And that's how that's what I push up against. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, I imagine that someone's trying to kill me. And that's as I push through the thing. I was
Do you realize how little we have in common?
But it makes, when you see him, you're like, oh, that makes sense. He works out like someone's trying to kill him.
You know, I don't like idolizing certain statements or things. I don't want to put Joe's shit out there like this.
Yeah. But
when, I'll just say very blandly, when Chappelle got COVID.
Yeah.
I texted Joe. I think you might have been on that text chain.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what he said, but what he said was such a mind frame on life.
Yeah.
That I have used that exact mind frame.
Yeah.
I have said, I want to be like that. Like when I said, hey man, are you okay? I'm just checking to see. I know Chappelle got COVID.
And mm-hmm.
His response was so of course. That's
what it was.
So
him. Yeah,
it was so Joe.
Well, that's the difference, is that, you know, we know the guy that has become like this huge influencer in
so many fields.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're talking in psychedelics, in extraterrestrials, in politics,
and online
social justice, entertainment, online entertainment, and in fitness, and in supplements. I mean, I'm taking what he takes every day.
Yeah,
I feel sick to my stomach.
Yeah,
like his vitamin regimen is nauseating.
And bro, I tell you, he was like that 10 years ago. When I was doing the road with him, like 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago, I mean, same guy. He would travel, like this bag was huge, and open it and just fucking vitamins pour out of it. Like you know, always on top of his diet, his exercise. Like he's never wavered from that.
I have such a different mindset. I literally got on the treadmill this morning and I said, this is what my brain said. I hope someone's not trying to kill me. I'm gonna just pretend I'm running away from a murder. I thought, hope I TiVo'd something good. I hope I got something good on the DVR to jog to.
Uh-huh.
Thank God Adam Richman's got a new fucking show.
Yeah.
So I fucking watched that motherfucker. And then I was like, I'm doing two workouts a day. Maybe I'll order Domino's and Pizza Hut.
That's how you get jacked, dude.
And then I was like, if I know that I get a treat at the end of the day, I get Domino's and Pizza Hut, and I get to taste test them with my daughters, I'm going to get two pizzas, okay? Yeah. First of all, okay, hold on a second. We're going to get the deep dish Domino, because that's Pizza Hut. We're going to get the thin crust Pizza Hut. Then we're going to get the Brooklyn pie from Domino's, and then we're going to get regular pie from Domino's. And we're all going to taste. And I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with my brain?
Yeah.
Like, that's where my brain is. I think of Joe's text to me that morning. I was, you know me with the exposure of COVID, I get very fucked up.
Yeah.
And I can sometimes, I wake up and I go, do I have it? Do I have it? Do I have it? I mean, that anxiety just alone has been somewhat debilitating. I just got chills right now and I was like, either I'm getting COVID or that was a cool moment, mm-hmm. You know? I would love for Joe's voice to be in my head instead of mine. Sometimes.
He's got a huge podcast. You can listen to him all the time.
I got to be honest with you. I'm having a hard time with the whole Spotify thing.
Really?
Yeah.
What about it?
I like, you know, I'm obsessed with Joe's, but I couldn't get it. I opened Spotify and I clicked it and it just brought me to podcasts. And then I clicked Joe's and then it took me to like Joe introducing his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just gave up. I was like, fuck. And I was like, and then I said to Leanne, I was like, hey, can I see Isla's phone? And then, because Isla's got Spotify Premium,
mm-hmm.
and I could pull it up. And I was like, can you get me on the family plan? It was so fucking angry.
Yeah,
that I got to just sit and focus and get it, because he did podcasts with, he's doing great podcasts.
He is. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going like, it's just, I'm a creature of habit. So I'll tell you what podcast I'm obsessed with right now.
What?
Obsessed with.
What?
Revolutions.
Oh.
By Mike Duncan. Have you heard this?
No, the apology one though. The apology podcast. That is the fucking shit.
What's the apology? Hold on.
Oh, it's so good.
Hold on. Write down Mike Duncan, Revolutions, because this has a lot to do with you.
Okay.
Now start me on the apology.
Can you pull up an image of the Apology Line podcast?
Oh, please say it's Americans Apology.
There it is. Wondering, that one. That one. The Apology Line. So this profiles in the 1980, it started in 1980 in New York. They put up flyers in the city where you could call and leave an apology to anybody. And they would say, don't give out any personal information. We're going to play it publicly. And then they would play people apologizing for anything. Like, I stole this thing. I was, I left that person hanging. I didn't call him back. A murder. I murdered this guy.
No.
Yes. And it just, how it kind of unravels. It's really, really captivating. Fantastic. I want to switch though, because I got distracted.
No.
What?
Hang on. Stop.
What? What? You don't get to do this.
Hold on. Oh, God damn it. Okay. I want to go. Okay. So just keep our notes on the side.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then write our notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then hold. Oh, God damn it.
I got to tell you of something else first.
Okay.
Okay. The apology line download. It's fantastic.
Let me just get it and down. I'm going to forget.
Okay.
Apology line. The all apology right. I'm line. Downloaded.
This is the thing that I didn't want to forget to tell you. The two things that I've seen recently that are
subscribed.
Tremendous. I mean, really, really good.
Okay.
One is on Hulu called In and of Itself. Have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
You have to watch this.
So funny when you said write down In and of Itself. I was like, yeah, I don't know what that means either.
In and of Itself.
I don't know what In and of Itself means. Okay. I don't know what it, like me, I meaning when you say In and of Itself, I don't know what you're saying.
Well, it's a...
No. I meant when someone goes in and of itself in a sentence.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
What does that mean? In and of itself. Just what does that mean in and of itself?
That we are discussing this one...
Use it in a sentence. Pizza Hut in and of itself.
Pizza Hut in and of itself.
Is better than Domino's. Is sure. that a sentence? And yeah, then what does that mean?
That in its purest form, what you're saying is, oh, there you go.
Oh, I got to pick my nose.
On its own, by its very nature.
Why wouldn't you just say on its own?
I mean, we have a whole vocabulary.
Do you ever go to pick your nose and shove a booger higher up your nose?
It's happened.
And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, great. Now yeah. I'm fucking waiting for that.
Where's that one?
I just pushed it up. I just went, and it's up there. And I'm like, now's when I wish I had an infant finger, okay. Like a baby finger to
yeah,
go up there.
Yeah. God. Imagine okay. if Warren picked your nose with those hands.
Imagine if he was a dentist.
He just
gagged you out.
You know how you were talking about how he touches hard?
Yeah.
He only touched my affected arm and leg. Only. During the game. Watch the live we did. The Two Bears, One Sabbath. He was like, ah, and I was like. And then when we were at that barbecue, he was like, ah, and he would lay on my left knee, and I was like, oh, do I tell him it hurts?
I love that he was mocking me for being in a tornado.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, you were in the tornado. Well, I'm going to die. And I was like, a lot of people feel that.
Yeah. No, all right.
In and of itself.
Let me tell you about this real quick. Yeah. Pull up the image on the screen of it. So this guy, Derek, you have the image? There we go. This guy
has no nose.
Delgadio. Here's the thing. I don't want to sell you on it too hard. Or I don't want to get, because it's so spectacular.
Is it a podcast?
No. This is a one-man show. It's what? On Hulu.
Oh, it's on Hulu. I'm not going to fucking Hollywood.
No. It's on Hulu. It's a one-man show that is, it's all about, I would say the premise is identity and how basically we are complicated layer beings. I'll say this. It's a work of art, the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's a masterpiece. I would call it a masterpiece. Frank Oz, I think, directed it.
And you don't want to tell me too much.
I don't want to tell you too much.
Tell me something about, if you tell me something about Derek Delgado, do I know what this is?
Here's the thing. I don't even want to, like, I don't feel like telling you it's such a special show that giving things away does a disservice to the show, you know? Like, it does a disservice
okay.
to the show.
Okay.
I'll tell you all more right. about the other thing I've been watching, because I feel like that makes more sense. In this type of show, it's best to just go watch it.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to text it to Leanne.
Okay.
And could I watch it with Leanne?
Mm-hmm.
In and of Itself.
On Hulu.
What's that mean? And then
yeah.
on Hulu.
And you can also say, did you know that In and of Itself also means by its very nature?
I'll tell you what we watched. So you're not going to like it because it's a little like teen girl stuff. We just watched The Wilds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
Is that horrible, having to watch teen girl stuff
all
the time?
No, you know what you do? You end up finding a way to connect with your daughters and getting into shit like that. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, oh, cool. But you just can't say certain shit like, oh, I'd fuck that one. And then they'd be like, Dad, she's 17. You're like, oh, never mind.
I mean, I have that thing right now. My kid's obviously super young. And like what I do is I just walk by when he's watching a show, my five-year-old. And I go, oh, this is my favorite show. And he goes, it's my favorite show. And he gets pissed. That's really fun to do. All right, here's the other thing that I've seen that is fucking unbelievable.
Okay, and by the way, I'm not done talking about the revolutions because I have a lot I want to share with you. Keep going.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And the Adam Richman show I want to talk. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to watch 000.
Okay.
On Amazon Prime.
Oh, please tell me it's time travel.
It's not.
Ah.
But this is an epic fucking show, man.
What is it? Okay.
000 is based on an Italian series.
Called Settle, Settle, Settle?
I think so. And it's filmed. I mean, this has to have a $100 million budget.
You think there's a guy right at the same time in Spain going, oh, I guess I'm not going to sell my new screenplay, Zorro, Zorro, Zorro.
No. This is filmed in Calabria, Italy, Monterey, Mexico, New Orleans, Senegal, and Morocco. It's like a fucking Mission Impossible.
Well, I'm going to hit pause right there. Do I have to read it?
Two times, yes.
Subtitles.
Not the whole series.
Okay, okay. It's a series.
It's a series.
Okay. It's a series that follows one man.
It's drug trade. It's international drug trade.
Okay, writing
but it's not familiar. You don't feel like, oh, I'm watching one of these shows again. It's such a unique take. The writing, they use drug trade to drive story, not to be story. So the story really is in the characters, and you get to know each of the groups really well, the Italian group, the Americans, and the Mexicans. And each of them has unique characters and story that's phenomenal. The writing, the acting is, and the action, like the set pieces, the action in this thing is like, it's fucking Bourne Identity level
shit. Pull up the actors in 000. Let's see what they look like.
Yeah, they're from
gorgeous young men. I'm in. Okay, let's judge him based on the actors. Andrea Riseborough, hot. Mm-hmm. Dane DeHaene, I've seen that guy before, right?
Yeah, yeah. Giuseppe Domenico.
I love Giuseppe.
Harold Torres.
He looks like a young Benicio Del Toro. Oh, Gabriel Byrne?
Yes,
fucking
he's in
love
it.
Gabriel Byrne.
He's in it.
Fucking love Gabriel Byrne. Adriano, I liked his earlier work. Diego Cantana, I liked him on Entourage.
Yeah.
Frances, okay. I'm gonna like this because you know what this is?
What?
You know what I love about something like this?
What?
And this is how American I am. I don't know any of these people, but I bet they're also still actors in their countries.
Good job. You put that together real well.
I bet they're good actors in their countries, and I'll come at it going, who's this guy who's not speaking English but murdering it?
So good. It's so... It's incredible. It really is impressive, man. It's impressive.
Can I read the Wikipedia logline?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. 000 Wikipedia. Wikipedia. Oh, you've already Wikipedia. Oh, wrong side. Wrong side. Wrong side. Oh,
go to the left. Here. Yeah. Click that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Make that bigger. Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay. It's based on the book of the same name.
There's a book. I could read this.
A study of the business around the drug cocaine, covering its movement across continents. So basically. Like the way that this thing starts, I'll tell you this part. I'm not ruining it for you.
Good.
Italian mafia in Calabria is buying massive amounts of cocaine from the cartel in Mexico. And so how do you get a massive amount of cocaine from Mexico to Italy?
Submarine.
A ship.
Ship.
And so the broker is the Americans are the ship brokers. So that's the connective tissue between the Mexicans and the Italians. And basically, some chaos ensues in this massive shipment of the cocaine from...
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I love hearing good shit.
This thing is... It's an impressive, impressive show, man.
Infighting?
Oh, my God. I mean, the drama, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Oh, this is going to be... Okay, I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. There's also huge sequences in Arabic. Yeah, there's some French in there. It's really, really, I mean, yeah, there's a whole bunch of shit in Italian, Calabrian, Spanish, English. It's all over.
Oh,
it feels like you're in like a Bourne kind of, you know, world, like Jason Bourne shit, you know,
dude, I'm in 000. And you got, and I will, if you have daughters, if you have Teen Daughters.
I've been trying to find the budget of this because I when you watch it, you're like, the budget has to be, it has to be $100 million show, dude. Every episode, you're like, what the fuck? How much did this cost to shoot? Which I don't know. I so appreciate as a consumer, you know.
Oh! I've always said, you put $100,000 into a movie,
yeah,
you're getting my money immediately.
$100,000?
Like, a million. You put $100 million into a movie,
yeah, exactly.
I appreciate it.
Exactly.
I'm the fucking idiot in the movie theater going, whoa.
Well, I mean, I get it too. When you watch certain movies, you go, I get what was written on paper and the concept, and they don't have a budget, and they try to make it work, and sometimes you're like, they did what they could, and they still make it work. And sometimes you're like, this just looks like shit. This looks shitty and cheap and whatever.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, I think Jeff Bezos sold a brick to make this one. This is like, it's really, really good.
You can't find the budget?
I just tried Googling 000, you know, Amazon budget. And sometimes they release budgets, and they tell you that, you know, yeah, you can look up certain shows and they'll tell you what the
You go to, I bet because it's a series, the budget gets complicated.
Well, I mean, it could be released. They could if they wanted to, but I think they're not saying it. I mean, it might be because they're like, we're spending $200 million.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see this show. I love finding good shit. You know what I love? I love when I go, hey, wait, I never knew about it. Like, it's so cool to not know about something, then find it and be like, then go like, I got a whole bunch of new shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you laughing about in there?
You.
Fucking.
So wait, what's the, what's Mike Duncan Revolutions?
Okay. This is, so you know, I was obsessed with like Winston Churchill for a period of time. And then I was obsessed with.
History.
Yes. So like, I got totally into World War. Is that what he looks like? Interesting. I got really obsessed with World War I, World War II. The idea that I didn't really know how Europe was structured before World War I,
mm-hmm,
was like mind blowing to me, that I didn't know that there weren't all these countries, that it was just like just a big chunk here, a big chunk here, a big chunk there, and like certain things where I was like, fuck man, why didn't I know about it? Like, why didn't I care? Like, I didn't even, it never even got on my radar that I gave a fuck about Europe, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I started listening to this and I was like, well, shit, that's how they got, that is why the cause of Germany going back to war in World War II was that they had all these places that had been taken from them, but Germans still lived there. There were people, German people, that was taken away from them, and that's why they went back going for these. And then once they started, they're like, well, fuck it, let's take over everything, make everything Germany. And then when Russia, at the end of World War II, Russia was like, fuck you, now this is ours, and now this is all communist. And like all that shit just blew me away. And then I'm sitting there, and I go, I don't know a lot about Europe, but I go, I literally said, so wait, how the fuck did they make South America? And I was like, I have an idea that like some Spaniards rolled in and gave everyone the flu, and then the Incas poured gold down their throats. Like, that's what I know about South America. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, I bet there was like some cool, and then I just did this podcast with Daniel Bolelli, who was on Rogan. Mm-hmm. I had him on my podcast just talk about history, and he was like, yeah, you gotta check out Mike Duncan's Revolutions. I was like, what's that? He's like, it's just about revolutions. And I was like, so what we're going through in our country with what happened at the Capitol and stuff, I'd never seen something like that happen in our country with all the uprisings that's been going on, all these ideas of different revolutions. I was like, wait. And I got really blown away at the idea that Stalin and Lenin were basically, honestly, the same guys that stormed the Capitol. They really were. Anyone who starts a revolution starts off as like, fuck this. And then I couldn't help but notice that I was, because I didn't stand with those guys that raised the capital, that I was ultimately all these monarchies where that was like, fuck you. It should be the, like, it was like, I wasn't a part of the revolution.
Yeah.
But all we know about these revolutions that win. So I was like, and then they're like, you got to hear about all the revolutions in South America. And I was like, there were revolutions? And then they're like, and then someone's like, yeah, it was all Spanish owned.
Yeah.
Like Spain had all of it. And dude, I know that I'm fucking this up when I tell it, but the forward thinking that happened during those revolutions was so against everything that was going on in America. It's the cause of our Civil War. The predominantly the abolishment of slavery. Like it was this guy, Simon Bolivar, was a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
Type in Simon Bolivar. He goes through and basically Tom wins every fucking war the motherfucker touches. And I'm just...
You heard about this on Revolutions?
On Revolutions. Dude, this guy Mike Duncan knows how to do a fucking podcast. What he does is he does 30-minute chunks and just breaks everything down. And then he gives you these little seeds. He's like, don't let me get started on Gregor McGregor. He's a different story. He's a different podcast, all this stuff. Then I type in Gregor McGregor. Gregor McGregor was this Scottishman who basically sold everyone on the fact that he had discovered an island and he wanted them to invest in the island. There's no fucking island. It's a fucking... And then this motherfucker... And by the way, now I'm sitting there going, how do I... I've never heard of this guy, right? And then this guy goes out. He's basically like a Ponzi scheme fucking captain. He's bigger than Bernie Madoff ever was. He gets kicked out of everywhere because everyone's like, fuck this guy. He does it over and over again. Then he goes back. Simon Bolivar dies. He goes back and everyone's like, oh shit, it's Gregor McGregor. He's in a brand new territory, no social media. Everyone forgot he got canceled. And he's like, you're a badass motherfucker. We need to give you money. Gives him money, lives the rest of his life like a fucking millionaire. I get so fucking fascinated by this shit where I'm literally listening to them. You know, can I tell you what? This is why I wanted to talk to you about it.
Hold on.
Peru, right?
Yeah.
So do you know why Peru's such a badass fucking place?
Why?
Because in order to conquer Peru, you got to get up to their level.
Yeah. You mean in the Andes?
In the Andes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the Peruvian army and you're up, what type in the altitude of Lima? Lima's probably not that high, but.
No, that's like sea level.
Yeah. Type in the altitude. So
like
what
Cusco is up in the mountains.
Cusco. So yeah. So 500.
So do altitude of Cusco. Cuzco.
Is that these guys would go up to...
CUS, sorry. 11,100.
11,000. So what they do is these armies...
What is that? That's 2 miles?
Oh, yeah. That's undoable.
Yeah.
That's undoable. So what would happen was these people... La Paz is 12, almost 12,000.
Yeah, but then we're switching countries.
I don't even know where La Paz is.
Bolivia.
Bolivia. By the way, I think that was all Peru back then.
Oh, okay.
Or it's called La Granada, La Rivera, something. Anyway, what would happen is they'd be like, come on, let's go get them. Like these fucking armies would be like, let's go get them. And they'd be like, sure, sure, come on up here. And then they'd all fucking die from altitude sickness.
But you know, though, that when Pizarro and the Spaniards went to...
No, by the way, no, I don't. And tell me everything.
Francisco Pizarro?
Don't know him.
The Spanish...
No, yo no sé.
That was pretty good. Spanish conquistador. He arrived with like 80 men and they went and defeated like 60,000 Incans. Now, he was a sadistic, I mean, completely psychopathic, violent, evil son of a bitch.
Really?
Oh, man. They would like, he and his, you know, other spics, they would go up and just chop arms off of like Incans for fun and like, just to have a good time, just torture, dismember. They told what was his name? Is it Atahualpa?
How do you know about this? Because your mom's Peruvian.
Yeah, I mean, you just hear about it a lot, you know.
Like, I've never heard about it ever.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's probably why I heard about it more. But I remember there's a story. They'll tell you this historically that he and his men, you know, they went and they were like initially like welcomed by the Incans, and there's like 80 of them and there's tens of thousands of Incans. And so Pizarro was like, you know, they find out they have gold and everything, right? Like so much.
Yeah.
So he and his men are like, we want a room full, like this high and this high in order to give you back your king. I think they took Atahualpa. I think that was his name. And they provided they did it. They gave them like a room full, like floor to ceiling gold. And then they tortured them. They put them into like a vat of like oil and just drowned them in
the
it.
King?
Yeah. Yeah. They were like super, super
Oh, there's some books I can't read. There's some things I can't read because it's so sad.
Oh yeah,
when you get
and then they got sick, of course. They brought disease, which wiped out. And they also had swords and like bayonets and shit. And these guys were like, you know, they didn't have anything like that.
Do you want to know what one badass fucking I say Peruvian, I think, because he's Peruvian. Simon Bolivar,
yeah,
is asked by Colombia. By the way, he ruled almost all of South America at one point.
Yeah, sure.
He is asked by Colombia to take a step down, just be like the dictator of Peru for a while, and let this other guy, I think his name is Serre, be a soldier, be like his guy. This guy was so committed to Bolivar, and they go, listen, you got to go up and kick ass, so the Spaniards are up there. And he's like, okay. And he was running. He didn't have as many soldiers. And then they were like, fuck it. He's like, let's go punch him in the dick. And the guy's like, you want to punch him in the dick? And one of his soldiers goes, yeah, I'll fucking watch this. Goes up, fucking shoots his horse in the head and goes, I'm not going anywhere. And they're all like, let's kill our fucking horses. And then they just fucking destroyed an army. Do you know that fucking mentality when you go?
Oh, these guys are real savage.
By the way,
savage,
I'm not even certain they had guns.
Look up Pizarro's thing. Go to his Wikipedia. Because it might have the detail I'm looking for here. Yeah, hit that.
Francisco Pizarro.
Yeah,
it's amazing that guy did so much.
Yeah, scroll down.
And I've never even heard of him.
Scroll down to, is there the part about, the 3.4 there, 1532. Yeah, and who is the guy? Because I want to make sure I can't believe, right? Showing the defeat of his brother. Atahualpa had been resting, and it might give you the detail here. Okay, had a force of just 110 soldiers, 67 cavalry, right? He sent to Atahualpa in his camp, agreed to meet Pizarro the next day after his complacency because fewer than 200 remained, as opposed to his 50,000-man army. Keep scrolling for me.
How did they beat 50,000 men with...
I'm telling you, man, it's insane. Okay, see, he, despite fulfilling his promise of filling a room 22 by 17 feet with gold and silver, he was convicted of 12 charges that they just drew up, you know? They savagely decimated those people,
The amount of backstabbing that happened back, is that, I thought that was a picture.
No.
The amount of...
Oh my God, that's an actual
execution. Yeah, I don't see that.
That's good.
The amount of torture, Joe recommended a book one time, or maybe someone else did. I can actually tell you what the book is because I fucking have it on my audiobooks.
Yeah.
This is the most, my buddy Mans.
I went to the torture museum in Lima once.
Oh, for real?
Oh my God. Yeah. Trying to see if they have any more details about that, but I don't see any more.
The book... You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this was the most disturbing book. It was called The Conquerors, How Portugal Forged the First Global Economy or Empire.
Okay.
So this book is so horrible. It's so horrible that...
About the level of...
Yeah, it's like, so I listen to audiobooks to fall asleep.
You do?
So, yeah, because it reminds me of being at school. And like, I could fall asleep.
I don't understand how anybody can do that, by the way.
I love it.
And then Christina's the same way. She's like, put on something, like watch something and goes to sleep. If you had TV on when I'm trying to sleep, I'd be like, turn the fucking TV off, man. I can't sleep.
Yeah, you're like Leanne. I like to be distracted. If you have...
Silence.
The hardest I've ever slept is when we were doing construction in the house and you'd hear ranchero music. And the Mexican dudes doing the construction, talking back and forth to each other.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, because I'm hearing it, but I'm not listening. Like, right. I don't know what they're saying.
Right.
So I'm not getting interested in the conversation. I just hear the...
That adds up to me. Because I also, people listen to music. I'm like, I just start listening to the song. I wouldn't be able to fall asleep.
Oh, I can't listen to I try to listen to Outside the Magazine has a podcast. And they told this story of this dude. You're gonna have to find it. I'm never gonna be able to tell you. This guy tells, I'm like, oh, this is a good, I just found out they have a podcast. It's about this guy, this big wave surfer. He wrote the most seminal book about big wave surfing. And he tells this story of surfing in Portugal. and him and his buddy getting caught outside the waves that are way too big to ride. Their boards are too small. And he tells the story of him and his buddy, how they barely survived. And I was like, I'm like fucking laying in bed going, my hands are sweating. I'm like freaking out. I'm like, okay, this is not what you fall asleep to. Like the Conquerors, I used to put on the tour bus. I put on the tour bus one night, right? We eat the CBD edible, the high CBD edible with a little bit of a THC.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and they're like, this Portuguese conqueror goes down the coast of Africa, says to the king, I want your daughter, and I want you to bring her out yourself. I'm going to come in and kill all your people. And he's like, okay, I got it. Comes out with his daughter, and he's like, cool. They all fuck his daughter, and then they tie him up. Because he's Muslim, they shove raw pig down his throat, shoving him with a fucking stick, and then shit in his mouth and shoving him with a stick. And they're like, all right, go home. And the guy went home, and then they came back, and they're like, hey, we want your other daughter. And he's like, I'll be out there in a minute. Dude, I'm like, fuck this. I cannot live. When you hear about the horror, that's why I couldn't listen to fucking.
This is on your audiobook?
I was like, yeah, and I'm like fucking in my bunk going, you know, they shit in his mouth. Yeah. They shit in the guy's fucking mouth and shoved it down with a stick with pork.
And who's the guy?
Some fucking Portuguese dude. I don't even know. I couldn't listen. I was like, I can't listen to this fucking book. It's horrific. It's like the reason. Here's my question. He's had coronavirus, everybody. Here's my question.
Yeah.
I sometimes wonder, and this is I remember this is a brand new thought. I sometimes wonder, some of these history books, when you read them.
Yeah.
They come off a little racist.
Yeah.
Like you're like,
You're like, hey, it's almost like back then people weren't like all about equality.
Yeah, no, it's like, no. Even when you read them.
Yeah.
You're reading them and you're like, wow, it sounds like the Indians had it coming, you know? And then you're like, wait, this was written by an 80-year-old white man in 1980. Maybe he was like, so you start like, Joe recommended a book about Native Americans where I kept feeling like, hey man, I'm losing my compassion for Native Americans in this book. It really makes them sound really bad. And I'm like, I know that's not the real story, but as I'm reading this, I'm like, wait, they just cut the girl's nose off?
You're like, is this? Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, like, and so sense. I wonder if because it was written by who it's written, if it's skewed as like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you know, it's like not the most, not. I'm trying to think of the right analogy. It's like hip hop.
Okay.
Okay. There wasn't a ton of progressive hip hop when we were kids.
Okay.
Like, it was all like, fuck this bitch, suck my dick. Bitches ain't hoes, but shit. Mm-hmm. You know, if my friends can't have none, I don't want none.
Yeah.
Like,
cool shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to kill that motherfucker. Yeah. I'll kill your whole crew.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, of course, it was written by young, affected inner city kids.
Yeah.
Who that was the life they were living. And then as they get older, they're like, yeah, I wouldn't write that now.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Well, then you're looking at, take the opposite of that. History books written by old white men. And they're like, old white men tend to have some similar viewpoints. And they're like, yeah. The Indians were pretty bad guys. Like, Custard had like a, you know, and so you start going like, well, then how can you trust history books?
Yeah.
Like, I just found out
this morning yeah.
that the Titans, Tennessee, that the Titans are like one of the oldest teams in the NFL. The team, the Titans, the name, the Titans,
right.
It's one of the first fucking teams back when they were before the NFL. Like, all these names, yeah.
I don't understand. So the Titans were at one point.
Type in football Titans.
Because they were once the Oilers, though, right? That's what we're talking about.
No.
No.
So like. Oh, fuck.
But that's what that's trying to tell you. Founded in 59. That's really
the first team. Their first team was in 59.
But they weren't the Tennessee Titans.
They were something else.
Weren't they whatever Houston's team was?
They might have been the Houston Titans.
Click that. Yeah. So previously known as the Houston Oilers.
But no. So that's not what I mean.
That's not
there what was mean. An actual team called the Titans back in like the 30s.
I got you.
So a lot of the names we know as teams were like it was actually a fucking amazing video I watched about the history of the teams that played professional football. And it was talking about the teams year by year that went away and showed up. Like the Buccaneers, who just won the Super Bowl, They were originally the Los Angeles Buccaneers. Type in the Los Angeles Buccaneers. And this is the, I was like blown away. I didn't know, and this is where I was like, shut up. I didn't know that the Browns went away for 2 years.
Really?
Like fucking 3 years ago.
Well, more than that.
5 years ago. 10 years ago.
More, yeah.
Look at this. So the Los Angeles Buccaneers weren't even based out of Los Angeles. They were based out of like Cincinnati, but that's where they were. And they were a team that went around. And then that was the team. So like all these old teams I'd never
heard. Did the Los Angeles Buccaneers become Tampa Bay, or did they?
No, it's like those were acceptable names that they could take.
Okay.
Because they were like
teams. But did that evolve into something?
No. I think they just, like the Bears, you know why they called the Chicago Bears the Bears?
No.
Because of the Cubs.
Oh.
Yeah. And there was a
team. To like brand it?
Yeah, because they were like, we want the fans of the Cubs to become fans of the Bears.
Oh, gotcha.
And so, but Bears were football players, so we're Bears. It should be tougher and bigger.
I feel like, weren't they Cardinals before that?
First of all, the Arizona Cardinals are the oldest football team in professional football.
But weren't they the Chicago Cardinals?
Type in the Arizona Cardinals. This is the oldest team in all of football is the Cardinals.
Okay. Jesus.
1898.
And hit that wiki. Let's see. Where was it founded?
Established in Chicago.
See?
Chicago Cardinals.
Told you.
Do you know the Browns were named after a guy?
Who took shits, big shits. That was the thing,
the Browns,
right?
The Browns.
Yeah.
I was like sitting here going like, shut the
fuck up. I remember having my mind blown when I was like, I don't know, 16. When I was told that the Lakers were from Minneapolis.
Uh-oh.
And I was like,
yeah.
What?
And then you're like, they have lakes. They do have lakes.
And you're like, yeah. And then they just moved. And you're like, oh. Because it doesn't make any sense.
They've been trying to sell the name the Senators forever. Did you know at one point during the war, there were so few men that they combined the Steelers and the Eagles to make the Steagles?
No.
Do you think that's a true or a lie?
It sounds like a birdism.
Type in Steagles. I can't remember if I heard this or I dreamt it.
The Steagles?
The Steagles.
Oh, you're right.
The Steagles. I was right. I knew I was right.
Holy shit.
The Steagles.
That's hella
gay. Dude, I'm like fucking sitting there going like, dude, I watched a video. What?
The best was the Washington Bullets used to be a squad, and they're like, it's too violent of a name, and people are dying. So they became the Wizards, you know?
I didn't know that.
But the Bullets was that they were called the Washington Bullets because there's so many shootings in DC.
There was a team. They wanted to call them the Tornadoes, and one guy was like, I think we're in Tornado Alley. And they're like, yeah. Oh, that's why we want to be called the Tornadoes. And yeah. He's like, yeah, but when it kills 90 people, I don't think they're going to be fans or want to wear our jerseys mm-hmm. when they've lost their family to a tornado. And they're like,
thoughtful.
Well, someone tells the Hurricanes that.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I am so fucking fascinated by that kind of, like when you go, that's what it is about history is all of a sudden you go, I thought I knew a lot of shit.
What was the Kane mantra that they kept saying, Sap and Dave? Like hit big dicks, bust nuts, or something like that.
Lick dicks, bust nuts. Big dicks, bust nuts. Big, not big dicks.
No.
Big, type in Hurricanes, Rohan Marley. Was I saying his name wrong?
Yeah, I think he was saying it's Rohan.
I was saying Rohan.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people call me Bruce. I think we're good.
What is it? Big hits, bust dicks, something like that?
We can call Dave real quick.
Oh, yeah, he would definitely tell you.
Bust dicks. Just write bust dicks.
Yeah,
bust dicks.
It's definitely, he said it's on shirts and everything.
There aren't many matches for your search.
Oh.
Type in Hurricanes, bust
dicks. Yeah, Miami
dicks.
Hurricanes. Yeah.
Bust dicks.
Hit stick, bust dick. There you go.
Hit stick, bust dick, talk shit.
Hit
YouTube. I want to see that.
Yeah.
Hit dick, bust dick. We need a fucking saying like that.
Do they say it in the video? Oh, yeah, they're going to say it right here, man.
Let's hear it. I bet that's fucking.
These motherfuckers, they gotta die three motherfucking things, and that's what.
Hit stick, bust dick, talk shit, talk shit, talk shit.
That's pretty good.
And too long. I want you to look at the man beside.
Yeah. Well, you look at the man beside you. Is he hard? Are you hard?
Grab that dude's dick.
Then you're hard.
Talk shit.
Wait. Eat shit, bust.
No, not eat shit. No. Go back to it. What was it? Is it hit? What is it? Hit stick. Bust shit. Bust dick. Hey, talk wait, shit.
Is there any way we can get voiceover of what our fans think should be put in there? We do three things, and then you just do voiceover. Eat shit. Talk shit. Bust dicks.
We're going to eat shit. We're going to suck dick. We're going to bust nuts. Let's go on three.
We're going to bust dicks.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Mm. Hold on. Go back to our list. Eat shit, bust dicks.
Wait, what was the Adam Richman thing? What is that?
I'm obsessed with this new show. It's The Foods That Build America.
Okay.
Dude, do you know why Pizza Hut's crust is the way it is? First of all, do you like Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, sorry. What I like is Domino's thin crust. That's the shit that I
Are you talking about Brooklyn Pie thin crust?
I'm talking about when you're a kid and you go, I'll have a Domino's thin crust, whatever that is. The thin, it's like cardboard. It's not necessarily objectively good.
And it's not technically a pizza crust as we know pizza crust, right? It's a little crispier.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
So
I like that a lot.
This is what I learned from his new show.
Thin and crunchy.
That is a different type of bread than a regular pizza bread.
Oh, for sure.
And it was made for the Midwest.
What was?
That was
thin crusty stuff?
They made pizza. So pizza was unknown until like fucking 1950. Like,
really?
No one had ever had pizza.
In the States.
Like, yeah. No, they had some in New York, but it was like.
But I'm saying it was obviously a staple of probably Italy, right?
Type in when Taco Bell was formed. Type in Taco Bell.
Okay.
Taco Bell was formed. These two brothers, 1962, no one had heard of pizza. No one had heard of pizza.
Here.
In the United States.
Okay.
These two dudes are like, yo, we want to be like McDonald's. What can we do? They're like, pizza, right? By the way, you should watch the show. I'm giving it a soft thing. So they go in and they go to make pizza dough, but they don't know how to make it. So they use French bread dough. Mm-hmm. And they make French bread, lots of sauce, which is not, this is Adam Richman describes this a lot better. I should just call him, have him describe it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 1 second. Let me take a leak and we'll do it.
Real okay. Quick. Yeah. I got to pee. All right. I texted Adam Richman. But no one replies to a text.
What do you mean?
Just FaceTime him.
You're just going to aggressively FaceTime him?
Yeah, right. I think that's the best way to go about it.
I think you have a good relationship with him.
Yeah, I'm definitely cool. Let's see, FaceTime Adam Richman. And he'll explain Pizza Hut to us.
Okay.
He's one of the smartest dudes I fucking know, like legit across the board. There's some guys who know a little bit about a little bit, and some guys that know a lot about a little bit. And then there's guys that know he knows a lot about a lot.
Oh, okay.
And he can also do it. I wonder if he's probably working. By the way, this FaceTime's so close to my face right now.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
Right. He's not answering. I'm 0 for 0 on FaceTimes.
It's a real aggressive move.
Yeah.
I mean, really? I mean, the only people I was saying that I like will just FaceTime, no warrant. Like some people, you go, cool to FaceTime or
I FaceTime you.
That's what I'm saying, but like, we're really like, you know, we're really.
I FaceTime Joe.
That's aggressive.
Yeah, I always just FaceTime him all the time.
Does he answer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah.
I guess you're basically you're going like, hey man, what are you doing right now? I want to see what you're doing right now.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that is pretty aggressive.
It is.
Michelle wrote me. She goes, I'm going to the airplane.
Yeah.
Is it
from? Oh, really? Yeah. She said, yeah.
So let me explain Pizza Hut to you then. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is me regurgitating what I witnessed on Foods That Build America on History Channel.
Yeah.
Sunday nights at 9. So they used French bread because that's all they had. And they figured, why would we do something that people in this area aren't used to? So they make French bread. They put lots of sauce on it, lots of cheese, and they make it for Midwestern people. And Midwestern people fucking love it. And this guy makes one store.
The Taco Bell guy?
One Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut. One Pizza
but you
Hut.
You said to look up Taco Bell.
Oh, did I really?
Yeah, that's what we looked up. We looked up Taco Bell.
This is why I'm not on Foods That Build America.
Wait, so why don't you pull up Pizza Hut for that same search? Because I was like, I don't know why we're looking at Taco Bell.
Did I really say Taco Bell?
Yeah.
This is why you should never hold anything against me. I mean, 1958. Close.
Okay.
So they make Pizza Hut, and then the guy makes one store, Tom, and then he starts franchising it out after one store. One store, and he starts franchising it out. These are the things that are my takeaways.
But isn't it interesting? I just heard about a comparison between Pizza Hut and Domino's in modern in recent times here.
That'd be interesting.
That Domino's is performing much better than Pizza Hut.
I'd love to have this conversation with you. Domino's has 19,000 locations around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Pizza Hut has 17,000 locations around the world.
Okay.
Google that and tell me I didn't just hit that out of the park.
Okay.
That's called information retention.
Wow, you really...
I really enjoyed this show because I was obsessed with like going... Yeah, because, you know, we're on the tour bus one time and Andrew goes, 17,000 stores. Well, I was right. My cousin Andrew goes, I actually prefer Pizza Hut over any pizza.
18,700.
I was off.
But, but you're very close.
Yeah.
The point, though, I was making is that they have been on, from what I understand, Pizza Hut has been on more of a decline, whereas Domino's has been more on a upswing.
Well, they've got to be taking it in the ass right now with
but Domino's have been pushing really hard their online, you know, app stuff. And
yeah, you know, like, I can't get on to I'm old school. I need to call a guy, tell him what I want. I can't just go on an app and go, I'll add this.
Don't you kind of feel like a piece of shit having a Domino's app on your phone? Because I remember I wanted one like 2 years ago and I had to do it that way, and then like opening my phone and seeing a Domino's pizza app, I was like, no. I'm not going to keep this on my phone.
What the biggest piece of shit app you have on your phone
is. I mean, it was that.
I have a Papa John's app.
Yeah, no, I was like, I don't want that fucking app on my phone.
I've got all my airlines.
Yeah.
My radar comes in really handy, especially when you're doing outdoor venues.
Your radar?
My radar. It's an app where you can track storms.
Oh.
Because we would have to shut down shows because of lightning.
Oh.
Uncrate's a great fucking app. Calm, I use that. I have a bunch of ski slope apps from when we used to ski. Knowing Leafly for marijuana. Sneakers.
Yeah, I got that.
I got a few headset apps.
What the fuck is Clubhouse? Why is everyone talking about Clubhouse?
I got invited by a rapper.
Yeah, I got invited, but what is it?
I think you can listen to people's conversations.
Well, who are you trying to... it says drop in on audio. What does that even mean? What is this?
I don't know.
Somebody explain this to me.
You know who can explain it?
Who?
Tim Dillon. Let's FaceTime him. You ready?
Okay.
Let's see if Tim Dillon answers a FaceTime.
He uses it. He invited me.
Tim Dillon, new number.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. See if Tim Dillon answers a FaceTime. See who my real friends are.
Yeah.
This is such an aggressive... I can't believe people don't answer FaceTimes the way I do.
All right, hold on. Wide array of clubs and virtual rooms, conversation on diverse topics, networking, dating, and programming. Some examples of Clubhouse are Startup Club, Fit, Black Wealth Matters, Leadership Reinvented.
Does no one answer my fucking FaceTimes?
Not today. Muslims and Friends, the legacy. I mean, I just don't know... So you're dropping in and just listening to a conversation?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind dropping in on FaceTimes.
Yeah.
So FaceTime is a really aggressive move, huh?
Yeah.
Well, why would they put it on there if you can't use it?
You can.
Yeah, but no one answers a fucking FaceTime?
Well, they're probably doing, like, it's a real thing. Like, think about how a text usually affects you, right? You're in the middle of something, pops up, and you're like, all right, I'll hit up Bert after this thing. FaceTime is Bert's pounding on my door. Hey! Like, that's what FaceTime is.
Let's see who the most famous... You think Warren Sapp would answer a FaceTime?
Yeah, for sure he will.
Now he would.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember I FaceTimed Snoop when we were doing the live show. All right. No one wants to fucking FaceTime me. Anyway.
Put that down.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So anyway, my question is, favorite... online pizza, you're saying Domino's thin crust.
I mean, that's one I had that I liked as a kid.
Better than Papa John's?
I like it more.
So there was a period where Papa John's...
But you're a real pizza guy. I'm not really a pizza guy. You have pizza every week.
Every Friday.
Okay.
It's pizza night.
Yeah.
Every Friday is pizza night. And then I order enough so that every night's pizza night. I have a hard time saying no to a errant piece of pizza.
You know what I always remember that what? I wish I had spoken up about?
What?
Remember when we did the weight loss contest?
Yeah.
So the day before, so we had two weigh-ins. We weighed in like back-to-back days so that you couldn't just do like a cut and weigh in.
You had to be lower.
Right. So we just almost died doing it 2 days.
Yeah.
So after the first podcast on the first day, we were going to come back the next morning to keep podcasting. And Joe goes, what do you guys want? And immediately you go, pizza.
Fuck yeah.
And I just went, okay.
What did you want?
Sweets.
For real?
Yeah. I wanted like donuts or like, you know what I mean? Like something.
It's so funny.
Sugary.
You brought up donuts so many. I've said it to Nadav one time. God, I remember saying it to Nadav that when he said he ate ice cream, and I was like, who eats ice cream?
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious.
And then all of a sudden I started eating ice cream.
And you're like, ice cream's good.
It's so good, but it's not something I would treat myself to.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's the way my brain worked.
Well, it's also your, like, you really, I mean, it makes sense to me that you really like pizza.
I'm going to get probably three pizzas from three different places tonight, and I'm going to sample them.
Any idea what you're going to, have you been didn't he yell at us, Sap, about not knowing that pizza that he liked? Craig's?
Was it Craig's?
Yeah, Craig. He's like, we went to Craig's. And then he was like, you guys fucking even live here?
Oh, yeah.
We were like, yeah, I don't know what it is.
Oh, dude, there's a lot of pizzas.
That looked like some good fucking pizza, though.
Well, the best pizza they say in LA is Larchmont Pizza.
I mean,
Larchmont's pretty good. Larchmont's pretty
good.
How
do you not know all the best pizza places?
You know what? Honestly, because my girls don't like designer pizza. They don't like good pizza. Yeah. I had the best pizza I've ever had in my entire life. Entire fucking life.
Where?
In Rome.
Mm-hmm. We're going back to Rome again.
Go to, I've been to Rome a lot.
I know.
Go to Rome, best pizza in the world. I bet there's a lot of people that advertise that way. Do this. Let's go. Rome, pizza, trip flip. So we had pizza with this guy. Poor trip flips probably. Oh yeah, there you go, Rome. See if you can find the name of the pizza place if it's in there. So we had this pizza. This guy, my fuck, this is the best pizza. This guy said, he makes the world's best pizza. He's won the pizza championships. I'm giving you all the information. I want you to find it. Okay, listen to what I'm saying, and then you find it. He makes the best pizza in the world. He's won the world championship at pizza making, and he created a new pizza. Called, what's the kind of pasta you have where it's like bacon, egg yolk, and cheese?
Don't know, but I mean, I've had it, but I don't
carbonara.
Know the name.
Carbonara.
Okay.
Type in Rome Pizza Carbonara Championship or something. Trip flip, whatever. Come on, guys. So he says, we're going to start you. So I get hammered the night before because I love pizza so much. Pizza Carbonara. This guy had created ice cubes that he put on the pizza. He put the bacon on raw. He put some Parmesan cheese, a little bit of olive oil, and then he'd put an ice cube that he created, and he put an egg yolk so that the ice cube didn't let the egg yolk cook. So then the egg yolk would melt the perfect amount, and when it melted, he'd pull it out, and he'd stir up the egg yolk, and it was pizza carbonara. And Tom, I made myself so sick.
I mean, I can hear it in your mouth.
It was one of the best. It's the best thing I've ever put in my mouth. And just to be fair, he could make these pizzas. He could make these pizzas in like 3 minutes. He'd make a pizza in 3 minutes. It was so thin. It was so good.
I love that.
He came in and he's like, hey, what pizza you like, huh? And by the way, he was actually a pretty soft-spoken guy.
Okay.
He's a little overweight. Probably not with us anymore.
He's like a little.
Yeah, a little older. Is that what we're looking at? Is that the thing?
I believe so. You tell me.
Did you see Bert Kreischer attached to this at all?
No, but this is the world champion pizza carbonara in Rome.
That's what we're looking at.
That's it right there?
Tom, these things were so thin.
At Dar Poeta? Is that the name?
I'm guessing. Have you typed in Dar Poeta, Bert Kreischer, and seen if you come up with anything so we can make sure that this is the guy? No, I'm not the guy. Anyway, he would make them so quick. And he came in, and I was hungover, and I didn't eat dinner the night before because I knew we were having pizza.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, you're going to have a lot of pizza, so save some space. So I get drunk as fuck, and I don't eat. I go to sleep hungry. I come in the next morning, and he's behind the counter making himself a pizza with a glass of wine. I go, oh, my God, if I was ever going to fuck a dude, it's right now. This guy's drinking wine at like 8 in the morning, and he goes, Bino, and I'm like, fucking yes. Claro.
Yeah.
So I start drinking wine with him, and we're not even shooting yet. And he goes, I need a little something, you know, a little something. And I said, well, yeah, I don't want to spoil it, though. And he goes, no, just a cheese? I go, yeah. And he makes me just a cheese. And then he takes it, and he folds it in four for me. And he goes, here, like, it's a fucking sandwich. And I go, huh? I burn the roof of my mouth and I go, fuck that skin. That is going to be gone. We're eating fucking fast, hot, and furious today.
Oh, you must have gotten so sick.
That's the place. What's the place? That's the fucking guy. Tom, these were the greatest pizzas I've ever had in my life. And Tom, I'm drunk at the end of the night. And I tell him I'll invest $100,000 to move you to Los Angeles so that we can do this in person. And he goes, it's the oven. It's the oven. The oven's so good. No take oven over there, huh? No? And I went, listen, I'll build you a brand new oven. I go, we set up on Sunset Strip. And they pop them out.
Do you have the name of this?
What's the name?
Tonda.
Tonda. Tonda. If you go to Rome, Pizza Tonda.
There you go.
Pizza Tonda. This fucking guy.
Via Valle Corteno. Oh.
Pizza Tonda. How many ratings did he have on that? Go back. Okay.
Pizzeria.
A five-star rating, 845 reviews. It is the greatest pizza I've ever had in my life.
Hit that Tonda menu there.
And then do me a favor.
Left. Go to the left.
Damn it. I want
to
be on.
Yeah, yeah. Hit one of those so we can see. There's got to be images from.
That'd be great if he's like, he stopped making pizza.
What's he make now?
If you can type in, there's got to be something on YouTube. Pizza Tonda. Type in, go to YouTube. Type in Pizza Tonda in YouTube.
Okay.
And then Carbonara. And then hit, because it's got to be the.
It's okay. Pizza Tonda, Rome. Just do that. See if something comes up. Is that his, the very top one? Is that his shit?
I don't think so. No. I don't think this is something I need to do by myself.
Yeah.
Tom, this was the greatest pizzas I've ever had.
You're making me actually really want pizza now.
I'm definitely fucking up pizza today.
Yeah.
I'm fucking up.
Wait, so what's your go-to in LA?
Right now, across the board, right now we're Domino's. We're hardcore Domino's.
We're talking about like
I know
world-class.
Dude. I got to be honest with you, though. I kind of grew up on Domino's.
Do you like the thin crust, though?
Do they do a Brooklyn pie? What is it? Brooklyn pie. Domino's Brooklyn pie.
That's like the New York style?
New York style, but it's even thinner, and it's kind of less calories. I do pepperoni beef Brooklyn pie, and I do onion mushroom Brooklyn pie.
Now, do the kids like this pizza?
I eat both of those myself. I don't know what they get.
Do they like it?
Oh, they like Domino's. They like, and so we had a place near us. I won't say the name because it's right near us.
What's the, but you like that one or no?
I love the Domino's Brooklyn pie is one of my favorite.
No, the one that's near you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. But the girls, they're anything kind of a little bit out of their taste buds and they're like, I know it's good, but I don't really get it.
Yeah.
Like I'd rather just Domino's Hawaiian. And you're like, ugh. Isla, can I get a cheeseburger from Domino's? Cheeseburger pizza? And it's pretty fucking good.
Oh, okay.
It's actually really fucking good. And Domino's doesn't fuck anything up.
What's the homeless thing you were talking about before?
Have you seen Steve Burns' video of on Instagram?
No.
Dude, pull up Steve Burns' Instagram. He's back from Nashville. I think he's doing a podcast now. And take a look at this video.
This top one?
Yeah. Just take a look at this video. And this is the state of Los Angeles right now. And this is not an exaggeration. This is just a walk through just a street in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So look, him just walking down the street.
Okay.
He goes, I'd like to walk down the sidewalk, but I can't. I have to walk in the street because this is the street, is what he's saying. And now that's what he's saying there. And then this is him walking down the street. It is straight up.
Oh, like full tents and like full camps on the sidewalk. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like people have set up homes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like legit homes.
Jesus.
And it's like at what point is Los Angeles, are the mayor, Eric Garcetti, and the governor, Gavin Newsom, going to realize this is on their watch? Like, right. They're the only ones that can take care of that.
Right.
I'll say this right now to both of those motherfuckers. I will donate my time to put on any show to raise money to make this stop. But it's not good for the people doing it. Like, no one wants to be homeless.
Yeah.
Like, whatever the fuck, it's like, do something about it. It's so bad in Los Angeles.
It is bad.
It is so bad that you drive through Hollywood.
Well, that's the thing is that we used, like, L.A. a few years ago, you basically, you know, a major city has homeless people in all different parts of the city. But like, it was kind of, all this was kind of pushed into downtown. So downtown in like the north, central and southern parts of like that downtown pocket, that toy district and everything, and Skid Row. You're
if
like
Skid Row is just like acceptable. You just don't drive
like,
around.
Yeah,
there.
Here's a, this is a homeless area, and people were like, okay, as long as it's out of sight. And then now it's like that's Venice. I can tell you it's, you know, Brentwood has a huge homeless camp now.
The Valley,
you see it all over the Valley.
Any and it's underpass just, in the Valley is just shanty towns.
It's more like about what it indicates, because you go like, oh, this is a epidemic that is spreading, growing.
It used to be in my opinion, a mental illness problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that anymore. Now I think it's that this city is so unattainable for so many people that are so down on their luck with what's going on with coronavirus that so many people are saying, this is my only option.
Well, it's definitely, there's definitely still a huge mental illness epidemic that we don't really do anything about. And I think you're right. That
dude, we drove one of the homeless people the other day was like one of the music teachers at the kids' school.
Really?
Yeah. And you're like, okay, she wasn't crazy. I mean, I think her husband was on drugs, but whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just, it's so bad. And here's the problem.
So you got to move it. Where are you going to move?
Dude, I don't ever talk about politics. I do not know if Gavin Newsom or Eric Garcetti are Democrat or Republican. I don't know what, I'm sure.
I thought you were about to say, I don't know if they watch this podcast, but go ahead.
I bet they have their own podcast called Two Fucks Do Nothing.
Yeah.
Here's my point is like, I don't know what they are, so I don't mean to talk politics at all. I know nothing about their platforms, but what I will say is they have driven out a lot of my friends who could have helped raise money to help fix problems. And if they keep doing that, then this city has only one direction to go. And it's, and at a certain point, even I will have to leave.
This city's gone straight downhill.
Dude, you know, when Joe, I hear Joe talk about it on his podcast, and I go, oh, come on, Joe. You remember, you used to love this city.
Yeah.
And then I drive through Hollywood the other day, dude, and I'm like, it's not, I'm not angry about it. I look at it and I go, these are people that are not getting to live their best life.
Hollywood's sad, man.
And there's so, it's so much that I go, hey, Garcetti, drive once in your own car through Hollywood. And because you're not, I don't know where you're driving. I don't know what freeway you get on and where you get off, because you're not driving the same roads I drive. The
freeways are covered in trash.
And Gavin Newsom, they must not see it, or they're really not doing anything about it. They must be so in the fucking weeds with coronavirus.
Of course. And there's so much that's on your plate that, you know, to manage, like if you're a mayor, governor of city or state of this size and all the issues, but this is a disaster.
It's a disaster. And whatever they've done with taxes, and I'm sitting here willing to pay my taxes. I know I'm getting taxed out the nose. I'm fine with it. I signed up for that. I like living here. My daughters like living here. We're cool with it. But there's also programs like, whatever happened to fucking Comic Relief? Comic Relief, guess what? None of them live here anymore.
Yeah.
Like, no one gives a fuck about LA because you drove Joe out and fucking Tom out. Like, everyone's leaving. And you're like, God damn it, man. It makes sense why the city's going to shit. And it's like, I know this stupid speech isn't going to change anything, but it's like, hit me up. I'll fucking do a show. Can't raise $1 million, but maybe we can help out like a block of people.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I don't care about politics. I care about people. And like when you see people not getting to live the happiest life they get to live and not, it's just heartbreaking to me.
That's true.
Whatever. I didn't mean to get on a soapbox. I know a lot of you guys support homeless people, and you're like, they should be homeless.
But let's just remind people that a lot of paralyzed guys can feel their dicks.
That was this episode.
I think so. Wasn't it?
I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
This.
I hope we're still finding those two girls from Canada. I'll try to post more pictures. That was a week ago. But, you know. We'll see if we can get them.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Two Bears, One Cave, the FaceTime and podcast. I can't believe people don't fucking FaceTime people.
I know. It's pretty aggressive.
I'm going to only FaceTime people from now on. When people text me, I'm going to FaceTime them back.
Right back. There's nothing that makes somebody happier when they're just like, can you make it? And you're like, I'm going to FaceTime you real quick.
I'm gonna see if I have a text on my thing. Richmond just...
What do you say?
I'm going to just... FaceTime him again. Fuck him. He's Adam Richmond, man. He's a fucking television star. He's game. He is camera ready. Every time you call him, he's camera ready.
Okay. So far, sounds good.
Adam Richman.
How are you, man? I didn't expect to be called so soon. What's up?
hey, first question. We've been talking about Foods That Build America. But first question, is a FaceTime, because Tom says it is a FaceTime an aggressive move to somebody?
I think if you don't know it's coming, it can be. And that's just a parent to a child or a child to a parent. Then I think you get carte blanche.
All right, I'm turning you to the camera so people can see your beautiful face. Hey,
okay, I'll take the mask off.
Real quick. I was trying to explain Pizza Hut and like the dough and like pizza. And real quick, I want to see if I got it right. Give me the quick explanation about Pizza Hut, if you could.
So Pizza Hut was the Carney brothers, and they took over an old restaurant, and they could only fit 8 letters on the sign. They knew they wanted to sell pizza, but they pizza takes up 5, so that's how they got Hut, because it was the only 3-letter. It was either Pizza Pit that's or Pizza Hut.
Yeah, he's good.
And they used French bread style dough, because that's what their customers knew, instead of Italian crust. So that's why it had that kind of crumbly, more French bread-like consistency. And then they were failing in the East because people knew what real New York pizza tasted like. So what they did was they created a thicker crust to show, like, we're not trying to be you, we're trying to do our own thing, which became their pan pizza. And they streamlined production by not using, like, raw ingredients that get cooked on the pie like we used to get in New York. They would cook everything at a different facility and just kind of finish it there. Anything else? I don't know. I told Tom,
I said, you are the consummate professional, that you are always camera ready. And I also said, you know what was amazing about Adam? I don't know if he can do it right now. He can also do any of his old Man versus Reed intros just on the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
He can bank. Just give us, just Tom, give us, just name a city and Adam will give you a city.
Name a city?
Like a city, Man versus Food City, like Columbus, Adam.
Okay, Columbus.
Okay, Columbus. Okay, I'm outside the Ohio Deli, a legendary restaurant here in Columbus that's been serving Buckeyes generation after generation. Now, while I've had a chance to sample the Therminator and sample amazing sausages at Schmidt's Sausage House, I am going to take on the Dagwood Challenge. This massive sandwich has been attempted thousands of times, but only a handful of people have managed to finish it. If I do, I get a t-shirt, a picture on the Wall of Fame, and my spot in Columbus, Ohio food history. Today is a battle of man versus Dag, and Dag, it ain't your day.
What the fuck,
is that,
man?
Is that not fucking amazing? 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 God damn it, you're a fucking legend, Adam. You're a goddamn legend. Oh,
that was fantastic, Adam.
The girls are loving the treats you sent them. Thank you very much.
How's Tom doing after his surgery?
Oh, how's Tom doing?
Doing well, man. Yay!
So
everything works.
Proud of you, buddy. I miss you.
Miss you, man.
Yeah, you're the best, brother. I love you. I love
anytime,
the new show. I'm obsessed.
For you, dude.
Anytime. I'll talk to you later. Stay safe.
All right. Be good, guys. Bye.
See you, man. We did a podcast with him at your place years ago. Do you remember that?
This is when Joey talked about spending the night in jail with black people.
Yes.
And we could not stop laughing.
And Adam was like, you know, the only thing I don't like to get, like, asked, he's like, people asking about, like, bowel movements and stuff from doing the show. And I was like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Do you take big shits? And he was like, all right.
First of all, is...
That was unbelievable. So that was like savant stuff, man.
So we got drunk one night in like New Mexico or something, or Arizona, and I did it all night to him.
I made
him do like 20 episodes.
He just remembers them all?
He's just, his brain is different
like
than
retains
ours.
Them.
I think he's got a photographic memory, but the way his brain works, he's, first
There's
of all.
There's this thing that I can do on, like when I start a tour, like I'll launch a tour if COVID is, you know, put to rest, let's say later in the year, and it'll start in September and go through 2022. If you give me like a couple weeks to get all the information down, you can go like April 11th, and I'll be in Madison, and then you can be like July 16th, and I'll be like July 16th, Minneapolis. Like I'll retain every city by date a year. Like I can do it for like a year, a little over a year.
No, I can't. Well, after the tour this summer, I didn't even know what city we were in when we were there, and everything was the identical same stage and identical.
But that is like,
that is
he's
is
just
that,
like,
is that not insane.
Yeah, he was like remembering a set.
I did it all night long. We sat and drank, and I would just call a city, and it was like, that's why I say there are guys who know a little bit about a little bit, and guys who not know a lot about a lot. He knows so much about so much. Like even it's I'm telling you, when I said tell me about Pizza Hut, and he just starts. Yeah. Rattling off the information, I was like, oh, I do remember that kind of.
He really retains it.
That's a fucking, I want that clip of Adam. Can you clip that out? I want to put that clip of Adam Richman doing the read for Columbus is fucking amazing.
We got to wrap
up. We should wrap up.
Yep. That was a lot of fun. Thank you guys for watching and listening. It was a great time. Love you.
Love you too.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears.